Hello and welcome to Yes Indeed Pod, a podcast about indie tabletop role-playing games where I interview creators about their games and inspirations and about the theory, process and practice of game design. My name is Mark Shepherd, your host today and always, and your friendly local indie enthusiast. Today we're talking to Ben Wallace, aka That Gamer Priest, streamer and podcaster on the All Ports Open Network, and creator of Broken, a duet story game where you tell the story of the breakdown of a relationship by collecting and physically breaking things. It sounds like a fascinating game, and I'm stoked to be able to share this with you. Now that's out of my head and into yours, let's talk indie. So, today we're talking to Ben Wallace. Hi there, Ben, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely no problem. It's what this month of Zine Quest 4 / Side Quest / Zemo is kind of supposed to be about. We'll see. I don't have a pithy title for this yet. Ben, would you like to introduce yourself and let us know what you do in indie tabletop role-playing games?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Ben, and I'm also known sometimes as That Gamer Priest on social media because I am also an Episcopal priest, or that's the same thing as Anglican, like we're associated with the Church of England clergy. So that's my day vocation, is I'm a member of the clergy, and I'm a game designer. I'm the co-founder of the All Ports Open Network, and we recently launched Apon Games as our analog indie game development, you know, part of the All Ports Open Network. We successfully itch funded a game in May for the first time called The Hard Lessons, and we've got a lot of other stuff coming out too. And right now we're itch funding a game that I wrote called Broken, a tragic romance game, which is about breaking up broken hearts, broken relationships. It's basically a breakup game, and broken physical objects, because in the game you do break real life physical objects. That is what I do.
I really want to talk about that. but before we get into that, sure. I just wanted to sort of ask you, you know, it's really interesting that you are also a priest. Do you think, is there much kind of, not crossover, but do you think there are interesting analogues between what you do in that job and what, you know, the work of an indie tabletop role-playing game designer looks like?
I 100% do. I think that, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit when we're talking about Broken, but okay, so to kind of answer this, I'll say that I also host a Monday night TTRPG talk show on stream called Holy Happy Hour Batman. The premise of that is basically to, well, my original premise for that show was that I wanted to talk to game designers about spirituality or faith or religion or their religious experiences. Yeah. And we do that, but we definitely talk about people's games a lot. It's because that's one way we get people on the show, is they come on to talk about whatever their new release is or what they have crowdfunding or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm setting this up because the first episode of that was really where the show was born was in talking in conversations with Alex Roberts.
Right. Yeah.
And Alex was the first guest on that show, on that stream, and Alex and I had talked about religion before, like off mic, kind of like just conversation. Yeah. And it was like kind of that conversation with Alex was kind of like what birthed the idea for Holy Happy Hour. And in that first episode, we talked a lot about the sort of commonality between games and religion. So I've been doing that for over a year, like a year and a couple months. But then when I designed Broken, which I've been working on for many years now, it's funny because I think that my liturgical instincts and all my, like, you know, my liturgical sense came out in the design for that. And I think in general, as a game designer, like, it's very influenced by my liturgical life and ministry and theology. But I don't know that I did it on purpose when I was designing Broken until a certain point. Like, at some point I realized it and then it switched from being unintentional to intentional. Yeah. But at first, I think it just kind of was because of who I am.
Yeah, no, that's really fascinating. Alex is capable always of getting right to the heart of the matter, right? And it's fascinating that, you know, her role-playing games and the kind of thing that she talks about a lot is you know, very intense emotional experiences, and how that's really interesting. And I think it must be fascinating how that ties into ministry and spiritual matters as well. I'm really interested in that.
So for me, the cognitive or psychological sort of space that religion and liturgy and worship and all that stuff take place in, like that sort of mental space, is really the same as play, that sort of transitionary space. And this is going to sound maybe to some people like a flippant thing to say, but I actually think it's not at all. I think it's the opposite. I think it's a very serious thing to say. But religion is a kind of play. And it's, you know, like in my version of it, I wear really fancy dress-up clothes. Like I wear, you know, a big, colorful chasuble and stuff and crosses. Yeah. And there's all kinds of movements you do at certain times, and at other times there's rules to follow and not follow. And I say that in a, like a serious way, because I take play seriously and I take religion very seriously. And so, to me, they're in the same kind of mental space.
That's so interesting. Quite a lot of people I've spoken to in the past have sort of skirted around these issues. And like, I don't know where I'm going with this really, but there's a few things I was thinking of. Like, there's that idea of play as a liminal space as well. And I think that ties much into religious ideas as well. But then other people using religious imagery as kind of shorthand for discussing various things. I'm thinking of Maria Masson's game, Archangel Dating Simulator, which sounds really pithy and really silly, but it's like there's a lot of Catholic imagery tied into that, but also it's kind of a lot about queer narratives and outsider stories and things like that. And it's just really fascinating how all of these things can kind of tie together. So I'm very interested. Let's talk about Broken before we chase down this rabbit hole for way too long.
Good idea.
Tell me about what Broken is.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's an RPG of tragic romance for two players. It's a duet game and it's a cooperative game. You're working together to tell a story of a breakup, and you do that by collecting 10 real life physical objects that you use as both scene prompts, and you ritually break them at the end of every scene. So like you could get, I don't know, let's see, what are some things I've broken recently? Well, I found a tiny cello that's a music box that plays My Heart Will Go On, the song from Titanic.
Okay, I mean, I both love and hate that in equal measure.
Yes, exactly. And so we broke that. You know, things like that. A lot of times people will like use a thrift store as like a pregame kind of experience. Like, hey, me and my play partner are going to go to the thrift store and we're going to find 10 objects. Or maybe we each will go out and find 5 and surprise the other person with the 5 objects.
That's really cool. What a cool idea. Wow.
Thanks. It's really fun because it kind of takes the play, like it's pre-play, like that kind of like the game begins before you're actually even sitting down at the table. To me, it was interesting because it's my game, but A.A. Voigt, he does YouTube reviews of TTRPGs. He just did one of Broken and he repeatedly referred to it as a LARP.
I think that's really interesting. Yeah.
I'd never considered it that. But, you know, there are certainly commonalities with LARPing. And when you think about the pre-play stuff, it then really kind of takes it to that level.
I feel really emboldened by my chat with Alex Roberts about LARP. And like we were sort of saying how LARP is only, the only difference between a LARP and a tabletop game is the fact that there is a table involved.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're doing this sort of pre-play thing, then there is no table because you're walking around a thrift store.
Exactly.
Choosing things to smash up. How does that work at the table? Do you just kind of sit there and break things? Is that a scene element? Is that climactic?
So basically the way you play the game is like you also create two characters in a relationship and you create these traits.
Yeah.
The traits are kind of things about the other person. So like, or about the relationship. So a trait might be something you're attracted to about the other person, or something you like about being in a relationship with them, or the way the relationship makes you feel, or something along those lines. And then you play 10 scenes. The last one is always the breakup scene.
Mm-hmm.
And every scene, one of you will pick one of the objects you've collected and you use it just kind of as a basic scene prompt. You can use it as vague or as specifically as you want. You know what I mean? If it's a plate, the scene could be a dinner or a dinner party or a dinner date. Or you could say the plate's circular in shape, and so my scene's going to have something to do with a circle.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, you could basically use it however you want. But you do a ritual at the start of a scene. One person picks an object, says, "Remember when," and then sets a scene. And then the other person says, but you forgot about, and adds like a twist or a tension, some sort of twist or tension or something to the scene. Then you play the scene out until one of you feels like you have become disillusioned with the trait that you're currently showing in those traits I talked about.
Yeah.
And as soon as you do, you break that object. I just did this on stream the other day with +1 EXP and, we collected objects and broke them on stream. And so what I did was I like had a towel, sitting there and a hammer so I could like some of the objects, you know, I could kind of wrap them in the towel and then smash them with the hammer.
Nice.
So it didn't make a huge mess. Yeah. It was a little safe. The book actually talks about physical safety in addition to
emotional safety.
Traditional safety tools. Exactly.
Oh, this is very LARP-like then.
Exactly. Cause you're breaking objects. So yeah, that's kind of how it works. You can break them in whatever way you want. You know, like I've also had, some objects where the only real way to do it was to go outside away from the table and just throw it to the ground and smash it. So again, the table's disappearing in that situation.
I think it's so cool. I mean, that must really, like, because this sounds emotionally intense and like, yes, I feel like this breaking of an object must really release the tension there.
Yeah,
make you laugh. It'd be a sort of bonding moment. That sounds really cool.
You need that.
Have you by chance played this with Jeff Stormer?
So it's funny that you say that. I did not play it with Jeff Stormer, although Jeff Stormer is a consultant on the game.
Oh,
and so he's listed as a consultant on the game. And he does have a actual play of it that's coming out on Party
yes,
of One, but I don't
because I saw
think
that
it's out yet.
There was he had bought something to smash. I saw it on his Twitter feed and I was like, this is cool. I'm looking forward to this. I had not put it together with this until that moment. That's so cool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So you play through these 10 scenes, presumably, when you're reminiscing about something and reminiscing about what was forgotten as well. And then is there a resolution to that at the end?
Basically, you play the 10 scenes. It's funny because I just played the game with Tyler from Possible Worlds Games.
Yeah.
And the game is pretty loose about how you actually play out the scenes. You could role play them in a traditional way, but you can also just sort of describe them like vignettes. And the way we played, he played the game just naturally without me prompting it at all, was just sort of like giving these monologue-y type vignettes of like what happens in the scene, almost stepping outside of time, like, you know, like memory, like not even just one specific scene, but just like the theme described in the Remember When, But You Forgot About, but like, and then how it reverberated across the time of the relationship. It was a really interesting way of playing that I think taught me that people can naturally kind of play the game however they feel it should be played in that way, as far as the actual scenes go. So you repeat that process 10 times. The last scene, you don't do the ritual of Remember When and Forgot About because it's the breakup scene. You both remember the breakup the same way. So you decide together, okay, how does it happen? How does our final split take place? And then the kind of period on the end of the game is that after the third scene, you actually go apart and you record a message for the other person in character. It could be like leaving them a voicemail message. And then the last thing you do after the 10th scene is you play the messages back for each other. So it's the first time the other person's hearing it. And then that's the end of the game.
Right. Wow. That's emotionally intense.
The voicemail message is the thing that's made me tear up when I've played sometimes. That's the only thing that's made me kind of get that kind of emotional reaction where I like actually get sad and tear up.
Yeah.
It hasn't even so much been the content of the messages. It's actually been when I remember what it is I recorded.
Right.
And like it hits me.
Yeah.
Because I realized that like the content of the recording ended up really influencing. So many times what I found is that the thing you say that's really nice in the message to the other person who you're in this relationship with ends up being the very kind of thing you end up fighting about and struggling over as you're breaking up.
Yeah.
And times I've had really emotional games, it's been thinking about, oh my gosh, I forgot I said X, Y, and Z in that message, and now I'm about to play it for the other person.
That must be really interesting. Like, it must make a big difference whether you play that message first or whether the other person does. And that seems like a small decision, I guess, at the time that has probably enormous emotional weight. Oh, that's so interesting. It sounds like it would produce really compelling and true-to-life narratives. I mean, I guess obviously it would because you're playing with real people and not, you know, not some kind of AI. But it's interesting that it would give you enough emotional weight to actually be sad about it when it ends. And I think there's a lot to be said about short games and like how they can have that big emotional impact on
you. Yeah, it is interesting, and not every game I've played have I gotten emotionally invested in for sure. You know, when you're playtesting a game and when you're releasing your own game, you end up playing it or hearing people play it like a lot of times.
Yeah.
I look forward to when I can take a break from hearing people play it. It sounds weird to say, like, I'm really glad people are playing it, but I've listened to like every AP so far.
No.
And so I've listened to it played a lot of times, you know.
You've listened to a lot of Tragic Romance in the last few weeks. Yeah.
Exactly. In order to like cope with that, the way I've been handling it is watching like, although this is kind of tragic too, but watching really trashy,
like Hallmark
reality
films.
TV
yeah.
romance.
Brilliant.
Yes, that's what I should switch to. I've been doing reality TV. I should switch to Hallmark films, because then that'll just really like go the swing hard the opposite way.
I mean, that sounds valid. I'm into that a lot. Another thing that I'm quite interested in here is that there is a narrative arc that you know from the beginning of the game, that you know it's going to end in Breakup.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Our Radios Are Dying, which is a game I've spoken about in the past. I think it's the only actual play I've listened to that I could not make it to the end of, because it was like, it was properly tragic. And I knew I was going to be extremely upset by it. So I was like, I'm just going to leave this hanging, because I know how it ends and it's going to be very sad.
That's
interesting as well, that you are kind of pitching a game that there is a defined narrative arc, and that's something that people are going to have to interact with. You know, do you think there's something to be said for that sort of very defined experience as a role-playing game?
I do. I kind of like that myself, in as far as like the games that I like. It's interesting, because I knew I wanted to create a breakup game because I had gone through a painful divorce, and as part of my own healing process, I wanted to make a game that gave people basically the tools to tell those kinds of stories, is one of my ways of processing and healing.
Yeah.
And so I knew I wanted to do that, and I'm a huge, huge fan of the game 10 Candles.
Right,
It was very, very influential on this game. The two big influences on Broken are definitely Starcrossed from Alex Roberts and 10 Candles by Stephen Dewey. When I played 10 Candles, it gave me that sort of mental framework to say, like, yes, this is a defined experience that you know going into it is going to end this way. I just think that that kind of storytelling is really cool. I like that kind of storytelling in drama, in theater, in, you know, movies. Like, to me, there's something to be said for, like, I know how this movie's going to end, and it's a question of, like, how do I get there? Yeah, so that was sort of, like, something I very much wanted to do with designing the game, was as have it be that very defined. And I think there's a lot of room to still out there in indie TTRPG design to see what people can do with that, you know, like producing very defined experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're sort of touching on it in design, but I feel like there's just like a whole deep well still that could be explored
Definitely.
With that kind of design. Yeah.
But StarCrossed is interesting as well, because it doesn't have, it's open-ended, but I think there are sort of two or three outcomes that it can lead to. And I think an even tighter experience like the one you're describing here is really interesting, because people have their own expectations about what the breakdown of a relationship should look like. And I think that's really fascinating. The other game this makes me think of as well is Sendal Inal's Turning Point, which is, it's a really interesting idea as well, in that you know all the way through the game that you're leading up to this kind of decision, this turning point moment, and everything that's contributing to that is sort of in the build up to that moment, which means that everything is very targeted to telling a particular kind of story. And I do think that games, that's something that we ought to be leaning into a lot. Another thing I talk about all the time on this program is artifacts of play, but what I like here is that you're twisting that experience by destroying the artifacts of play through play.
Yep.
And I'm so down with that. That's such a cool kind of twist.
I really am interested in keepsake games, and I thought, like, oh, is this sort of the opposite of a keepsake game? And it kind of is, but it's interesting because the broken objects become their own keepsakes. Like, I did a game with a game designer friend of mine. In that game, we broke a copy of one of the Peter Cetera records. I forget the name of the record right now, on vinyl. Yeah. And I broke the vinyl record, and now that broken vinyl record is like a keepsake for me. You know what I mean? It's like a desk item.
Yeah. That's so cool.
I want to like find a way to display it or something, like maybe get like one of those vinyl record display cases
and just have it smashed
and have
in
it
there.
Be in there broken.
Exactly. So cool. Why not?
I played that game with Gabrielle Rabinowitz, who's the designer of Manish Tanah, Why Is This Night Different, the Jewish Passover game.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
And it was one of our playtest games of Broken. And she's a friend of mine. And she's actually one of our stretch goal writers.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm hoping we hit our stretch goals.
Oh, so that was a great project.
I love Manishna is one of my favorite games. That's one of my favorite indie games. I absolutely adore that game.
That's a very religious tied game in many respects, religious and cultural tied game.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign. Now we've heard all about Broken.
So we're actually itch funding the game. And so people can go to bit.ly/broken game, or they can find Apon Games, APON Games on itch. Or you can just go to apongames.com too and link the game from there. And you'll get to see our beautiful new website if people go to apongames.com. Yeah, we just launched our new website when we launched Apon Games last week. And so yeah, we're itch funding right now. And let's see, it funded the full final ebook of the game. We're doing an ebook right now, and we funded the full final ebook of the game within the first 25 hours. We just missed 24, so we've been jokingly like putting 25 on everything because we thought it was fun. But we're trying to hit a stretch goal. We're a little bit less than $300 away from our stretch goal, which is to add to the core book a bunch of six scenarios, which are basically pre-written scenarios for playing the game. So that means the characters, how they met, where they live. Like details about them, the five traits for each character, and the 10 objects that you can either like find. Or one thing you and I didn't talk about is the alternative way of playing the game is to use popsicle sticks, and you write an object on the popsicle stick and then you snap it at the end of the scene.
Oh, that's nice too.
As like an alternative if people don't want to break stuff. So with the objects, I really wanted to do the scenarios because I wanted to bring other designers who aren't me on the project and see what kind of scenarios they write. So like the only one I know what someone is going to do with it is Gabrielle's, actually, and because she's going to be doing some sort of vampire scenario. We're funding that now. We're less than $300 away from it. And if people want to play the game, a custom version of the game with me, like have a custom game that we will play together, there are three of those left for $50. So someone could grab one of those while they still remain and help us hit that.
Fantastic.
Help us hit that stretch goal.
I'm just looking at your list of stretch goal designers now, and I think people should definitely get in on this immediately because it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's a great list. People should go to the campaign page and check it out. Like, I'm excited we got like Emily Buzzes on the list, and she does a lot of writing around superheroes, and so she's going to do a superhero scenario. So I lied before. I did remember. I did know another one of the scenarios that's going to be written. I don't know anything other than superheroes because that's what I pitched to her. I wanted a superhero one.
You got Sam Lee, Bubblegum Sam as well, and you've already mentioned Gabrielle Rabinowitz.
Zach Garth is on there, who does he's the editor for the game too.
Zach was half of Farious Bellows.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then my wife is on there. She and I actually for 5 years have produced a podcast doing all romance and relationship actual plays.
Oh wow.
And so she wrote the first scenario. Yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's called Pot of Love if folks want to check it out. We've been on a hiatus, but right now we are maybe not surprisingly doing a mini series of actual plays of Broken.
Of course. So, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I've got to say this is one of the better itch funding pages I've seen. I think it's fantastic. You know, you've done this really, really well. And I'm very excited to see how well this campaign does. So, you know, I really honestly wish you all the best. And I hope that everybody is able to go out and at least check it out and back it if you can, because it sounds wonderful.
The version of the game we're funding right now is just a digital version and an ebook. We would like to bring it to print eventually, but right now we're funding the game this way.
So yes, please go and check that out and make all of these stretch goals happen, because that would be super, super cool. Ben, would you like to tell us where we can find you and Apon Games on the internet?
Yeah, so people should go to apongames.com and you can find us that way. Allportsopen.com is like our podcast and streaming network website also. And then people can find me on Twitter. I'm at Benjamin Wallace, which is W-A-L-L-I-S on Twitter. And you can find me there.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I guess all that remains for me to say is fantastically good luck with your itch funding for Broken.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, and thanks again to That Gamer Priest for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Next time, we're carrying on our Zine Quest 2022 event with an interview with Tanya Floker about Lo, Thy Dread Empire, a narrative minis agnostic war game where you fight the Skeleton War against the death cult of capitalism. There are lots of words that I like there, so this already sounds like definitely my kind of thing. So tune in next time to find out more. This week's episode has been kindly sponsored by Grumpy Bear Stuff. Daily Dread is a pre-apocalyptic cyber dystopian tabletop role-playing game created by tabletop RPG veteran Daniele Fossetto and Zeus Longhi. It's a cyber Orwellian 1984 set in future Italy. Prey as a broken wing, a citizen of a dystopian future, trying to survive the reforms of the Authority of Freedom. Defend yourself from the Malalingua, the propagandistic language of the Authority, and get help from operators of the Rorschach's machine, a device that foresees the consequences of your future. Daily Dread will be on Kickstarter at the end of August 2022 as part of ZineQuest 4. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to the newsletter at dailydreadrpg.com, where you can also download the full system reference document. This week, I'd like to thank some of my incredible Patreon supporters: Hassan Yongdi, Sam Armstrong, Beyond Cataclysm Games, Georgie Batts, Sam Lee, Jack Blair, and Peter Ike. Thank you all so, so much. We couldn't do what we do without you. And you, yes, you can get a regular shout out and joyful thanks too if you go to patreon.com/yesindeedpod and sign up today. You'll get access to our Discord server where we can hang out and chat and even join monthly editing streams and the Yes Indeed Pod book club. Most of the money will go directly to creators rather than to me, so you'll be investing directly in the indie scene, helping to make it a healthy and inclusive place for years to come. And if you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcasts, or by donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod. That's YESINDIEDPOD. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music is taken from Be Quiet by Yatsar from the Three Music Archive, released under Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 International License. Thanks, Yatsar. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.